Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello and welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we're going to begin some studies in Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is a book which is very popular in many ways, because I guess that Paul is able to write with confidence to this group of Christians in a very, very positive way. I'm sure they weren't perfect, but whereas some of the churches, Paul felt the need to write some things that would come by way of rebuke and exhortation, and a need just to check out things, with the Philippians, in the main, it's just so grateful for them. And this comes out really in the very early verses of chapter 1. He says, "I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul very much enjoyed partnership. Though he is the Apostle Paul and was incredibly tenacious and focused and someone prepared to suffer for his faith, when there were those who would partner with him, share with him, stand with him, would be a friend with him, this was always very special. And it seems, I wouldn't say the church in Philippi was a favourite, but certainly the sense of partnership was very deep. Notice he says, it's your partnership in the gospel. It's not just that they partnered, say, with money, or they partnered with even with prayer, or just by being around and listening. It was the fellowship in the gospel that meant a great deal to the apostle. Because to have people who understand the gospel as you understand the gospel, to want to share the gospel as you want to share the gospel, who want people to come to Christ and turn from their sin and find salvation, if you have someone who you're in real partnership with about those things, well, that's really very important. And Paul goes on, he said, "I'm confident that the one who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." This was perhaps his part of the partnership. He's saying, you bless me, you encourage me, we share the same good news, the gospel of Jesus, but I want to encourage you that what God started, he will finish. And he goes on to talk about the way he prays for them, that their love may abound more and more, that they might be filled with the fruit of righteousness. And he's concerned because, yes, it seems that at the time of writing, Paul's going through a very tough time. And there are people exploiting his unfortunate position and maybe making suggestions. Maybe Paul isn't quite who he says he is, because why would he be in prison? Why would he suffer? And Philippians were troubled about this. They didn't like to hear this. And Paul says, look, it doesn't matter. I know people are preaching Christ with bad motives. I know that some people are stirring up trouble while I'm in prison. But he says, don't worry about that, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I know that while I remain in the body, then that's good for you. But if I'm released from the body, if I die, well, that's not a tragedy, he says. I will be with the Lord Jesus. And so he's urging these believers in Philippi. Remember, he'd been to Philippi, he'd preached the gospel there, he'd seen the church begin. He is encouraging these believers to hold on and to have confidence in Christ, even as he has. We're going to pause. My friend Patrick will join me, and we're going to, after some worship, have some more reflection on Philippians chapter 1.
Darkest corners of my life, Lord. Shine your light, let every sin in shadow be made known. For you are righteous, your love, your grace, your mercy.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about Philippians chapter 1. Richard, give us a little bit of background at the moment. This is a letter written by Paul to a church that he would have at some stage planted.
Yes, that's right. In one of his journeys, missionary journeys, he went to Philippi, and he began to share the gospel, began preaching by the riverside to a lady called Lydia, and God opened her heart. And after Lydia, there were others who came to Christ.
And this idea of writing to churches would be a way that Paul would be able to keep in touch, presumably once in a while, with these churches that were otherwise independent and growing on their own.
Yes, that's right. He wanted them to know that he hadn't forgotten them, and so the letters were a great way of doing that. And of course we know now that God was inspiring him, that these letters were not in fact his words, they were the very words of God that every church can benefit from. But the initial recipient of this letter would have been the Philippi church.
Mm. Now, there's a lot in this book, in this chapter, indeed, that we can pick up and talk about. So I've just selected one or two verses as we've looked through it. Verse 10 talks about being pure and blameless until the day of Christ. That's what he's encouraging his people to be like. Is that possible, to be pure and blameless in this life?
Well, it's certainly something that we should aspire to, and in Christ it is possible, but we just have to live very close to Jesus to exude those qualities on a consistent basis. But purity, blamelessness is absolutely key. They're just very distinctive things. If someone is pure and blameless, it's very obvious, very, very different to the average.
He goes on then in, really in verse 12, starting to talk about what's happened to him, and he's in chains. He's in chains for Christ. This was one of his imprisonments, I guess. But he talks about it as almost a positive thing, that this persecution that he was going through advances the gospel, he says.
Well, that's right. He finds himself with people who otherwise he wouldn't be with, and it's an opportunity to witness to the Roman guards about Christ. Remember, Rome was incredibly pagan, all manner of gods and quite evil, dark practices. So to be in the midst of people like that and proclaim Christ would have been very hard, but also incredible light in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that today Christians are still being persecuted in many different countries of the world. I mean, is there any sense in which that is a good thing, that it advances the gospel in the way Paul speaks about?
Well, to use the word good is a challenge, because, if you like, the relatives, the parents, your mother and father in prison, clearly that's still incredibly painful and very hard to understand. But I think what we can say is God brings good out of it.
Mm.
And so often the Christian who remains faithful is a very bright witness to those who don't know Jesus when they're handling their faith in such extreme circumstances.
And finally, there's a verse which I think is quite well known in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You spoke about this verse a few minutes ago. That's quite a big thing to say, that to die is gain. What does it tell us about Paul and his personality and his faith?
I believe it just illustrates that Paul is so committed to Jesus, and that commitment transcends life. He doesn't mind losing his life in the physical sense, because he knows where he's going. He knows where his destiny lies, and he's so focused on that and so aware of that, that he is able to make statements like this, which is really remarkable.
Okay, well, we'll be exploring the remaining chapters of Philippians in the coming weeks. So for now, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the letter to the Philippians in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.